Thank you, David. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and to the 13th chapter. This begins this morning a series of messages based on the stories, the greatest stories that Jesus ever told. And those stories are sometimes called, even by Jesus himself, as you'll see in our text, parables. The Greek word is parabole, and the parabole means a simile, means to be compared to. So not all Jesus' stories are parables or similes. But a simile has everything in the story represents something else. And so our story this morning is in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And this is a story about Jesus telling us about a gardener. He talks about the gardener as a sower, a person who sows seed. And the sower could be Jesus, or it could be you or me. Sowers. The seed is the good news of Jesus Christ, truth. That's the seed. And the soil are people. It could be us or it could be other people. So let's take a look at the story Jesus tells us about this gardener. According to the Gospel of Matthew in the 13th chapter, we read, "That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Or as Benjamin Franklin would say, "If the shoe fits, put it on." If you got it, do it. If you didn't understand it, that's okay too. Just let it pass. This is a story that Jesus told, along with many other stories we'll be looking at over the next few months. This is a story about a sower. And sometimes this story is called the story of the sower. Sometimes it's called the story of the seed. I don't think either quite fits, because the sower is the same person through the whole story. The seed is the same seed through the whole story. Some people call it the story of the soils. And yet, when you think about the story, it's the same soil in every case. Now, the soil, some of it's hard because it's being trampled down by feet. That's not the fault of the soil. And some of this is soil that's growing a lot of weeds. You can't blame that on the soil. And some of the soil is deep and rich. And I guess you couldn't blame that on the soil. It is what the soil is. I think if we're going to give this story, this parable Jesus tells, a name, it probably would be the story of the conditions, the story of the right time. Because the question is, when is the right time for the seed to grow? The right time, that's a Greek word for it. It's called the kairos. The kairos is when the baby comes. It's not when the doctor said, it's not when the hospital's ready, it's not when you would like, it's not when, no, it's the baby's time. That's the kairos. And Jesus is telling us a story about the right time for the seed to take root. And that's what he describes for us. Not just what is the right time, but what is the wrong time too. He says that the right time is when the soil is ready. That's when the right time for you and me to hear the truth and accept it, to receive it. You parents know the frustration of this. You want to tell your children certain truths, certain really important things, maybe certain things you wish somebody had told you. And now you're going to pass this along in your wisdom and from the benefit of your experience and make them better people for it, and they're not listening. And you go, oh, my goodness, what's wrong? Listen, the problem is not with the seed. The problem isn't that you got the wrong truth, it or isn't truth at all. No, the problem is the soil's not ready. It just isn't the right time. The right time is when they are ready to hear it. And it can be a lot of frustration if we throw all of our energy in trying to make this the right time. I don't know if you've ever had that. I have 3 children and 9 grandchildren. I know what I want to tell them, and I know what I want them to know, but I also know it's got to be a right time. There's nothing wrong with the truth. And this story Jesus tells us, nothing wrong with the seed. Seed's good seed. The difference of whether it grows or not is the soil. University of Alaska, Fairbanks, just started its new fall semester. I understand there was a course offered to all the incoming freshmen and transfer students on study habits for success. Now, I don't know if you students went to that class, but I remember when I was going to Lewis and Clark College as a freshman, a class like that was offered. And did I attend it? No, of course not. I was a good high school student. Who needs a class on whether or not how to succeed in school? I wouldn't be in college if I didn't know how to do that. And nor would my friends who didn't go to the class either. But about a month off from finals, after I got my first academic warning of my life, I began to think, oh, maybe I should have gone, and now what do I do? And so did my friends. You see, the time was wrong. I think if they'd offered that course a month off of finals, hey, I would have listened and I would have gone. But, you know, time was wrong. And so there were challenges involved. You know, as I travel back and forth from Fairbanks to Sacramento, California, I get a lot of time on my hands. One of the things that I do is read books. I like detective books. I don't know if you've ever noticed, or even if you read detective books, but I've noticed that in the first chapter, there are all the clues that you need to solve this mystery. All of them are there. And when you get to the end of the book, and you go, oh, that's who it is, you go, why didn't I notice that in the first chapter? It was right there. I was right in front of me. I didn't notice it. I had a grandmother once. When she would start a new detective novel, she would always read the last chapter first. She said, I want to know, so when I'm reading, I know why. I go, Grandma, you destroy the whole purpose. You know how it ends before it starts? That's not fair. Timing. It's all in the timing. What's the right time? That's the point of Jesus' parable. It's about timing. When is the right time to hear the truth? The right time is this time. When you are ready to hear. When the soil is softened. So many times we want to push that There was a young couple in Salt Lake, in Boise, where I was the pastor for a number of years, and Ginger and Matt came to me, and I married them, and they had a beautiful home, and Ginger got pregnant and gave birth to a beautiful little girl, Melissa, and she, when Melissa was about 2 years old, Ginger was told she had cancer. She had a brain tumor, and that she didn't have long to live. And I went to visit Ginger, and what do you say? I'm sorry, or I understand. There was nothing that would make any sense to me, and I asked her, what was she feeling? What was she going through right now? And she said, I'm not really afraid of dying. And then she broke into tears, and I thought, well, maybe she's kind of relenting what she just said. And then she said, I just want to be able to tell Melissa how to be a lady, how to comb her hair, and how to make her bed, and how to set the table, and how to be a friend. And I'm not going to be able to do that. And I said, Ginger, maybe you can. I said, why don't you record all the things you want Melissa, your little two-year-old daughter, to know? And we'll play it for her when she's a little bit older. So Ginger did that. We played a part of that tape at her funeral. And when Melissa was 7 years old, her daddy got the tape out. And Melissa was able to hear what her mommy wanted her to know when Melissa was ready. There's a right time for the truth to come into a life. And we can't push it, we cannot force it, we cannot manipulate it, but we can offer it. It's really interesting as Jesus tells a story to think, did that sower know he was wasting seed? Did he know that if someone was going on rocky ground, someone was going to be choked out by weeds? Was he just a foolish, silly farmer? Or did he know that, in fact, there was a lot of seed? And the farmer wasn't sure exactly where it was going to land, so throw a lot. Maybe that's what we should be doing. Throwing a lot of seed because we don't know where it's going to land, but we know that some of it's going to land on fertile ground. Don't be careful. Be courageous. Be generous, even reckless, with the seed that God has given to us. And so Jesus gives us three insights in this parable, in this story. He says the right time is when your world is uncluttered. Second, the right time is when the earth is soft. And third, the right time is when the earth is deep. I want to look at those three situations Jesus lays out. The seed goes at the right time when the world, your world, is uncluttered. Now, it's never that we, at any of us, know all of the truth. And we need to be open to whatever the truth God wants to bring into our lives. So, how often do we need to keep uncluttered lives? All the time. I mean, we are living in a time of clutter. In this high technology time, there is nothing, it seems, nothing but clutter, intrusions, invasions on us, on our time and our attention. You know, this is one of the few parables Jesus interprets for us. At later on in the 13th chapter, Jesus interprets this parable for us. He doesn't do that with all of his stories, even most of them. But he interprets this one. And I would have thought that Jesus would have said something like, the sins of the world choke out the word. But he doesn't say that. He says instead, the cares and responsibilities of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the world. Now, it's not that responsibilities and cares and wealth have anything wrong with them. In fact, they're all good things. If Jesus told this story in the first century to Jews, all his audience would have thought, wealth, that's good. Do you remember the fiddler on the roof, the story, Teviev? You know, he goes, would it be a rich man? And he goes on and says, would it be so bad if I was rich? It would make me happy, and it would make my wife happy too. Nothing wrong with wealth, except that it can choke out the truth. You see, responsibility, that's a good thing. Wealth is a good thing, but sometimes the good things choke out the better things if we don't keep them in proportion. They can clutter up everything else and choke out that which is valuable. Every time I fly up from Sacramento, I fly over Mount Shasta. I'm reminded of what happened there. A number of years ago, there was a massive forest fire, like some of the fires we have around here, and it just burned the whole mountain. All the trees and plants were gone, blackened. And that was during a time when the government used to send out crews to repair such damage. And so the crews went in. But when they went in, they noticed that already the manzanita were coming back quickly. Manzanita love a fire. But that didn't bother them. They went ahead and planted thousands of ponderosa pine all over the mountain. Within 5 years, all the pine were dead. The manzanita had killed it off. 20 years later, the government went back in, and this time they cleared out big sections of the manzanita and planted the ponderosa pine. And guess what? Today, when you fly over Mount Shasta, it's covered with ponderosa pine. Why? Because the manzanita were cleared out to give the ponderosa a chance to take root. Does that mean there's no manzanita today? No, there's lots of manzanita down there, but the ponderosa is doing very well. Unclutter our lives is the challenge of Jesus. We need something that will unclutter our lives. And one of the most valuable tools God has given to us to unclutter our lives is priorities. Setting priorities. Taking charge of what your life is going to contain. Someone once pointed out to me, when you see a horrible movie, you take that with you for the rest of your life. You can't erase experiences. So be careful, they were saying, and what experiences you expose yourself to. Do you want this a part of your life? Now, unfortunately, much of what is invading our lives, others are in charge of. At least we'll give them permission to invade our lives. In our high technology time, there are all kinds of invasions. Emails, Facebook, messaging, Twitter, Google, WhatsApp, Snapchat, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Quora, music apps, movie apps. The list goes on, and every one of those apps is being interrupted with some cookie that's telling you about something else. Do they get your permission to do that? Nope. But you know it's a part of your life. And Jesus says, if you want to be really open to the truth, take charge of what's going on. Somebody was telling me about the Game of Thrones. What a wonderful series that was. It got all kinds of awards. Amazing. And I'm kind of a romantic at heart. And I said, sure, I'll go ahead to see it. Did you know you can see the whole series in one sitting if you got that tough a backside? It was 2 days later. Finally saw the last one. And I go, oh, man. What a waste of 2 days. I could have done something really important, something really good, something valuable. But Jesus says, unclutter your life and that will happen. That will happen. We need to learn to set priorities in the use of our time, in the use of our energy, in the use of our planet's resources, in the use of our freedoms, and the list goes on and on. Setting those priorities, Jesus, unclutter your life. Now, I'm not saying that it's good to have a tragedy, but J.R. Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings, had this wonderful word. He called it the good catastrophe, the eucatastrophe. He says there are some tragedies in your life that force you to re-examine your priorities. Or as Jesus would put it, unclutter them. Like the birth of a child. I remember the first child Morgan I gave birth to. It sure changed things. My office became a baby's room. The dresser drawer became a bed for the baby. We had to get rid of the dogs. I mean, a whole life was turned upside down for the baby. We had no regrets. Same thing was true when I got married. I know the same thing is true with those who go through divorces or those who have to move or those who have to get a new job or those who have all kinds of catastrophes in their life, the death of a loved one or their own pending death. These are the tragedies that force us to look at our real life and ask ourselves, is that really the most important way I can spend God's resources? Or does God want to soften me up? Unclutter my life and let a truth settle in. That's the bottom line. C.S. Lewis wrote a wonderful book, and you've heard some of the other books I've quoted from C.S. Lewis. This is the book he wrote called Miracles. In it, he said, the doctrine of the incarnation, this is that God came in Jesus Christ, does not lie in obviousness, pessimism, optimism, pantheism, materialism. All have this obvious attraction about them. Each is confirmed at the first glance by multiples of facts. Later on, each meets insuperable obstacles. The doctrine of the incarnation works into our minds quite differently. It digs beneath the surface, works through the rest of our knowledge by unexpected channels, harmonizations, and our deepest apprehensions, and our second thoughts. I love that. And in union with these undermines our superficial opinions. It is little to say to the man who's still certain that everything is going to the dogs, a pessimist, or that everything is getting better and better, the optimist, or that everything is God, the pantheist, or that everything is electricity. Its hour comes when these wholesale creeds have begun to fail us. The eucatastrophe. I tried it, and I found it was false. Eucatastrophe is what Jesus is talking about. Unclutter our lives, and we are more open to the truth. But then Jesus goes on, and he says, the right time for a great truth is when you are open. When the soil that is hardened is loosened up. Do you know that he's talking about pathway, as Jesus tells us that. Did you know that the pathway is actually the most fertile part of the field? Because that's where people walk along, not just trampling down growth, but they also drop their goodies as they go along. And we call it garbage. But you know what? It's fertilizer. You dig up the path, and things will grow better, and the old path than where there was no path. The path, there's nothing wrong with the path. It needs to be dug up, though. The old path is a hard on seeds, though, when it's not dug up. My son and his friends used to have this word they used frequently called vector. You vector off. We're going to vector off, Dad. We'll see you around. And I love that. the seeds, they would hit the path, they would vector off. Birds would come and get them or something else. You know the truth about the spaceships? Come in from space, come back into the earth. The most dangerous time for the spaceship is not when it's in the atmosphere. It's all heated up, but it's got protection against that. The most dangerous time for the spaceship is when it's trying to pierce the atmosphere of the earth. You can't come straight into it. You will burn up. If you come at it at an angle, but it's got to be the right angle, because if you come at it too thinly, too carefully, you'll bounce off, and then you'll end up in orbit around the sun. You won't come back to earth for another 80 years. You might want to get back sooner than that. Jesus talking about how do you not vector? How do you get home on time? See, the problem is not the seed. The problem is that sometimes our lives are hardened and they cause the seed to not take root, to bounce off. But finally, Jesus tells us that that the time for a great truth is when the soil is deep. And he tells us how to deepen the soil in our lives. The soil around the rocks is not better soil than the soil that grows weeds. It's all the same soil. Miguel de Unamuno, who was a Spanish poet and philosopher, said, "Catch a great idea, marry it, and raise a family." I love that. Catch a great idea, marry it, and raise a family. Catch the truth of the gospel, marry it, and raise a family. Our Lord is teaching in the parable that in order for greatness to be a part of your life, you need a great foundation, soil that's welcoming to the truth. You catch the great truth of the good news, you marry the great truth of the good news, and you raise a family with the good news of the truth. Last year, I was having lunch with Alex Honnold. Now, Alex Honnold may have been a person that you heard about or even you saw. He is the young man who climbed El Capitan in Yosemite up the sheer face of El Cap, all 3,000 feet without ropes, without any safety harness. Free climbing, they call it. Well, I had lunch with Alex, and I said, after getting past the, why do you do this, and have you ever had a situation where you thought we were in trouble? Or I said, what's it like? What's the face of El Capitan like when you get up off the floor of the canyon? What's that like? I mean, is it rough? Is it smooth? Is it slippery? What's it like? And he said, there are mosses and lichens all over the face of El Capitan. And I thought, and those lichen and that moss is going to tear that monolith down someday. Yeah, don't underestimate the truth. 2 days ago, I was flying into the airport, this great airport here at Fairbanks, and the plane was coming in for a landing, and everything seemed to be going well. There wasn't any strong winds or anything, and the pilot seemed to be entirely in charge, and we were all sitting back for a smooth landing when the plane came down and almost touched and then didn't, and the engines revved up, and we took off again into the sky. I thought, what happened? Did the landing gear not come down? Did the pilot underestimate the length of the runway, or what's going on? Because, you know, this was never happened to me before. Good landing and then take off back into the sky. And as we went up into the sky and came a big circle around the valley here and got ready for another landing, the voice of the captain came over the speaker. And the captain said, "The tower just told me there's a porcupine crossing the right runway. Abort!" I thought, oh yeah, an endangered species. No, I thought, does that porcupine realize the power it's got? it can redirect the flight of a 737 and 200 people on board. Do you ever realize the truth of the seed God has given to you? Don't underestimate it. Because Jesus says when it finds rich soil, it will produce 100-fold. Don't be careful with it. Scatter it generously. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, the seed of the good news of Jesus Christ has been given to us through Scripture and your Holy Spirit. Thank you, O Lord, for softening our hearts to hear it. And we pray, O Lord, that we may never take it for granted, but that we may always be open for more. We pray these things in your holy name. Amen. And for that purpose, Jesus had a meal with his disciples. And after they had eaten, Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat ye all of it, for this you do in remembrance of me." And after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he blessed it. And he said, "This is the new covenant of my blood shed for the remission of your sin. Take and drink all of it, because you do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare my death until I come again. Then I, ministering in the name of Jesus Christ, offer you this, the truth." You're invited to come up, tear your portion off the loaf and dip it into the cup and partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and then return to your seats in prayer. There will be a special prayer station over here on the side if you'd like to pause and join in prayer there.